to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. I might cry because I am literally alongside, not over screens, not from their homes, alongside NBA champ Richard Jefferson, 2008 Finals MVP, Paul Pierce. Malika Andrews is going to join us shortly from New York for our Nets preview segment. Also coming up, we will share the details of the NBA's investigation into the Clippers' recruitment of Kawhi Leonard in 2019. Stick around for that. But first, we begin with the NBA's version of Panda Watch. Yes, it's been about 3 weeks since Woj first reported James Harden wishes to be traded out of Houston. And yesterday, Adrian Wojnarowski and Ramona Shelburne reported the Rockets are increasingly expanding trade discussions beyond Harden's preferred destinations of Brooklyn and Philly. According to sources, several playoff caliber teams are becoming more comfortable, including the high-level players in the packages they are presenting in return for Harden. Now, by the way, Harden had a great showing last night's preseason game. 20 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, 27 minutes of action. Richard, nobody doesn't think James Harden can't play, right? How quickly do you expect them to move him, or how much longer would you say he's going to be a Rocket, if I phrase it that way?
Well, I think it's a good sign that they're opening it up. Like, I think when you limit yourself to two or three teams and you don't like it, and it's like, look, James Harden has, I believe, 2 more years left on his contract. So you're not even just getting him for one.
Right.
Like, you have an opportunity, and we saw it with Kawhi Leonard. You saw it with Paul George. You see these guys have the opportunity to really kind of convince you that this is a great place to stay. But it's not just like Milwaukee or Brooklyn Nets or Philly. It's like there's other teams that I think they might have an opportunity to convince them. And I think 2 years is better than 1 year to convince a player.
When you talk about trying to add James Harden, you have to think about a few things. You know, now that you're opening it up to not only contenders, but how does he fit? How does he fit into our culture? Or if he's not going to a team that has championship aspirations or just a team with playoff aspirations, how does he fit with our young guys? You know, you have to ask yourself these questions because the things you've heard out of Houston, the partnering, doesn't really fit our culture. Yeah, James Harden's a great player, but we're talking about building something here for the long run. Is that really fit with what we're trying to do moving forward? And that's what you have to ask yourself. So I believe he's going to be in Houston for the duration.
Oh, wow.
Okay. For the whole season?
Yes.
Past the trade deadline. Yeah. I don't know if I go that far, but I will say this. I don't know if this is going to get resolved quickly because as much as I think the Rockets we're seeing from Woj and Ramona's reporting increasingly are trying to get a deal done, it really depends on what the marketplace demands. It doesn't depend on how much you want to sell. And look, if he doesn't want to go to another team, who's to say that he won't act on that other team exactly how he's been acting in Houston
exactly.
That has made them feel like, oh, man, maybe we do have to deal them.
That's
remember,
what I'm talking about.
Tim McMahon's reporting at the beginning of all this was that the Rockets were, quote, willing to get uncomfortable. Well, James Harden has certainly made them uncomfortable. And all of a sudden, it sounds like they are making more phone calls. Well, if I'm on the other end of one of those phone calls, I want to know that James isn't going to be like that to such a degree that you, Houston, feel like you need to trade him.
New tricks, Rachel. I'm trying to tell you.
I agree.
Old dog, new tricks.
I agree, but if we learned anything from the Kawhi situation.
But Kawhi never did the thing. Kawhi was not in two strip. I'm going to
read. Okay.
He was not in two cities that may contain nighttime establishments.
Okay,
I don't know where James was. He was not in two different cities when he was supposed to be in training.
But there was rumors that Kawhi, not that he quit, but that he would wanted out of San Antonio and that his injury and how they handle. There was all this stuff. And so San Antonio was historically famous for taking care of their players and literally extending the careers of Manu and Tony and Tim. So to have Kawhi say it at the time that he did it, you're like, that's not on brand. There's something else here. And Toronto still took that on. And so I'm just saying that people have taken on, I don't want to say controversial, but guys that they weren't sure what they were going to get from or how they were going to handle being in that environment.
Listen, Kawhi is a champion.
Agreed.
He's a Finals MVP.
Agreed.
And he comes from a San Antonio Spurs culture.
But he was trying to leave.
Fine. But who doesn't want to deal with a Kawhi?
Yeah.
You know, he understands the urgency of practice, of being on time, doing what's right. He's not a guy you're going to see in the streets. He does his work and he goes home. Like, you can live with that.
Yeah, okay.
And
I agree.
So you have to ask yourself these questions. If James Harden comes aboard, can we live with that? There's only like 2 or 3 coaches that I can say can deal with him in the league. Doc, Popovich, and I'll think about the third.
Here's the other complicating factor in all of this. The Rockets are looking at what other teams have gotten in trade for guys that they think aren't, frankly, as good as James Harden. What Milwaukee just gave up for Drew Holiday, for example. So I've heard that. Well, Milwaukee just got 3 picks and blah, 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 blah. What Paul George took on the trade market, that kind of thing. But here's the difference. The difference is that the Clippers specifically needed Paul George to get Kawhi. That the Bucks specifically needed Drew Holiday to help keep Giannis. I don't see a team right now, at the start of the season, that specifically needs James Harden and therefore will overpay or pay at least to that level, even though it's a lesser player that has commanded that level before. Now, what might change is when we get to the trade deadline, because both of these conferences are pretty stacked this year, and you have a lot of teams that think that they can make it, and James might be a piece that a team that maybe loses its own superstar due to injury or something else happens where they suddenly are as desperate as the Clippers were or the Bucks were. I don't know if anyone's that desperate right now.
Can he sign an extension and then be traded? Like, could they extend
him? Yeah, they just offered him.
I know the two, but I'm saying
2 years, $103 million. No, and by the way, it's not in his interest to sign an extension unless he is really sure of where he wants to go and that they're going to trade him.
Yeah.
Because then he's just locked into wherever they trade him for longer.
5 years.
So what the extension scenario is more that he would get traded to a team that he approves and then signs an extension with that team.
Well, that would actually increase the value of what you're trading.
That's where his, quote, preferred destinations comes in.
Yeah.
Because if you're listening to this reporting that Houston is expanding beyond his, quote, preferred destinations, you're probably then only getting him for those 2 years, at least at the start. And again, yes, the Raptors certainly proved that it was worth the gamble with Kawhi. They only had 1 year with Kawhi,
and they made it count. It's a year and a half.
Well,
that's why I say
season.
He's not going anywhere this year.
Okay. I can see it. This is one of those ones where, look, James has proven that if he's unhappy, he will look unhappy.
And make the other people on the team know how he feels. Let's talk about the Clippers. Let's switch gears here. The NBA investigating allegations made against LA Clippers team and consultant Jerry West involving the free agency recruitment of Kawhi Leonard in 2019. Johnny Wilkes, a man who claims to be best friends with Kawhi's uncle Dennis Robertson.
Not anymore.
Filed a lawsuit in LA County Superior Court against West and the Clippers, alleging that the team consultant owes him $2.5 million in an oral agreement made for helping the Clippers sign Kawhi Leonard. The Clippers issued the following statement, quote, the lawsuit filed by Johnny Wilkes is replete with inaccuracies and the allegations are baseless. The Clippers fully cooperating with the NBA in its investigation, which is standard when these types of allegations are made. They are providing the NBA with evidence that the allegations are false. And Kawhi Leonard himself had this to say after last night's game.
How well do you know Johnny Wilkes, and did he play any role in your recruitment to this team, your decision to join this team in 2019?
Not at all. That has nothing to do with me. You know, I'm from LA, and I grew up here my whole life, and out here, you know, people try to, you know, find any way to get some money, so it probably won't be the last. I know a lot of people out here.
Richard, this is not college recruiting, right? I mean, we don't usually see runners in the NBA, which is basically what this guy is alleging he was.
It's weird because you want to say, okay, was this introduction done during the Toronto, when he was in Toronto, before free agency? That would be the only thing. Like, hey, I'm going to connect you. I'm going to do all of these things. But if it wasn't done during that, like, time period, there's nothing illegal here. This is professional sports. This is why it's done this way. No one cares.
First of all,
this is an LA guy. Tell him.
If you don't got nothing signed from Jerry West, like, look, hey, if I get you Kawhi 2.5, then this doesn't have any legs to me. This sounds like an AAU deal.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you want my son or my nephew to come play with you, then it costs this money. That goes on an AAU. I know firsthand.
Producer Danny literally just said in Richard's IFB, Richard, how much did you get?
I got zero. I wasn't that good. See, like, Paul was, like, number one player coming out as a sophomore and as a junior. He was top 10 everywhere.
You know what I got coming? I got a suit jacket. Yeah, just because that was the dress uniform with a clip-on tie.
Yeah, that's it.
So that's what I got.
Yeah. Arizona, I didn't get anything.
Here's what I would say from an outsider's perspective. I obviously was not on the phone with Jerry West or any of these people. I do not know what happened. I will look forward to the results of the investigation. But from an outsider's perspective, if they knew they could, quote, get Kawhi for $2.5 million,
they would have paid
double
that.
They would not have given up all of those draft picks for Paul George.
Yeah.
Right? Think about the price that they paid for Kawhi Leonard. We know the price they paid for Kawhi Leonard. It was a trade deal to the Oklahoma City Thunder that gave them their best young player and picks for the rest of eternity.
Man.
If all that they were going to get was, oh, this guy will get him for you, man, that would have been getting off late.
And then they have the voicemail as like evidence of Jerry West. And it's like, I listened to it. There's nothing there. It's saying, hey, thank you. Like, we appreciate it. And, you know, he might have said a comment about the Lakers, which was true at the time, right? I'm not going to repeat, you know, the show that he was saying that the Lakers were, which was true. But there was nothing in that voicemail. So it's like, here's evidence of, like, him calling me and saying thank you. That's not evidence of $2.5 million. And so, you know, maybe there's more out there.
Let me ask you, so let's just say there's some legs to this and, you know, he's right on what he's saying. Okay, the NBA investigates. Okay, so what happens now? The trade is null and void?
No. Like,
they fine you.
Remember Joe Smith?
You get a huge fine.
Remember Joe Smith? Okay. Where he had that kind of under the table contract fire his agent. They could penalize him, take away draft picks.
Yeah.
Right. Take away all that stuff. So that's the penalty. Now that was hard for Minnesota because Minnesota with KG and all them, they weren't a free agent destination, so they really had to do it via draft picks. The Clippers, if they were to lose a couple of draft picks, and it would probably be after the draft picks that they were that the OKC got. So it really put them back like 5 or 6 years with draft picks, which could be detrimental.
It is funny to see this phone call paraded around because it doesn't actually prove the allegations involved. But also,
it's sort of
holding up like, oh, look what Jerry West said about the Lakers. Well, Jerry West split from the Lakers is very well documented and well publicized.
And he wasn't lying. He wasn't lying at the time.
That is something. That is a matter of opinion. But I will just say that there's no scandal and the fact that Jerry West doesn't have the nicest thing to say about the Lakers these days. That is, again, a split that's been well documented. All right, coming up, a plurality of NBA GMs pick Steph Curry as the best point guard in the league. Do Richard and Paul agree? Keep it locked on the Jump. We've got the GM survey results. All right, the NBA's annual GM survey is out. It's got some spice to it this year, guys. 81% of the GMs picked the Lakers to win the title again, which is not an unusual pick. But it's interesting that only the 2018 and 2019 Warriors had more consensus than that. It is a window into how dominant other teams consider the Lakers right now. The GMs also pick Giannis to be the MVP, which trends against, actually, what most media surveys have said. James Harden beat out LeBron for, quote, player who forces opposing coaches to make the most adjustments. Chris Paul won out over Drew Holiday as the player switching teams who would have the biggest impact. And Miami's Eric Spoelstra named the NBA's best coach over Greg Popovich and Nick Nurse. And then this is interesting. The GMs still consider Steph Curry the best point guard in the NBA, but by a lot less. He only got 30% of the vote this year compared to 90% of the vote the year before. Damian Lillard finished second to him this year. Paul, if you had to pick one guy, you cannot hedge here. You have to vote for one guy like the GMs did. Who were you picking?
Originally, I said Luka Doncic, but if LeBron's the best player and he played point guard, how is he not the best point guard in the league? He led the league in assists. I mean,
won the final.
I forgot LeBron just went to point guard, by the way, and he's clearly the best point guard in the league.
Okay, this survey is skewed here. Let me just first say this.
What do you mean skewed?
It's skewed is in the sense of, like, you just can't just add the best player in the game, the finals MVP, that led the league in assists, like, and then say he's 11%. So, like, are they considering him a real point guard, or they're just saying,
I mean,
this doesn't even make sense.
He was available in the point guard spot for the All-Star game and All-NBA this year.
But if he's the best player on this list, but they're talking about when he plays, this is stupid.
He's the fifth
point guard. This is dumb.
Hey, this is like the year Bill Russell won MVP and wasn't even in the first team All-NBA.
Oh, yeah, this is not a LeBron James, like, this is not, we're not, like, talking about that. We're just, like, it doesn't make sense.
I get it.
And, like, Steph Curry And I said it on the broadcast, like, Steph Curry has to reclaim his title as the best point guard. Like, when LeBron James got hurt and Kawhi.
You just want Warriors fans.
No, they hate me anyway, so who gives a damn? But this is what I'm saying. When Bron got hurt and Kawhi won the championship and won the finals MVP, they were like, Kawhi is the best player on the planet. Giannis just won the MVP. Giannis, Bron is probably the third or fourth. You have to show up every single year. Now, he might be the greatest shooter ever, right? Like, he will go down as that, but you have to reclaim your title every single year. Yeah. And Dame Lillard did some things last year from that point guard spot.
This is just like boxing. When you don't fight for a year, you get stripped of your title and you gotta go back and fight for it again.
Thank you.
It's the same difference. Now, we know how amazing Steph Curry is, Dame Lillard, they're amazing, but you gotta reclaim that. Dame Lillard has some phenomenal games. But if LeBron is a point guard, he has to be the best point guard.
Yeah, led the league in assists. Oh, whatever. Who cares?
DM survey, always fun. Up next, we take an in-depth look at the Brooklyn Nets' upcoming season. How high should our expectations be for KD and Kyrie in their first year of playing together? Stick around to find out. We are just 4 days away from the start of the NBA season. And you know what that means. The Jump's Previously On segments are back. This is like when your favorite TV show returns from hiatus. We're going to catch you up on everything that happened since the last time you saw them. So now it is time for Previously On the Brooklyn Nets.
I know my post-ups are negotiable, but I think 4.5 works, like 8.
I mean, we negotiated that thing. I thought we was going to do 2.5 post-ups a game. The half one is like, I throw you the ball in the post and you just throw it right back out to me.
On paper, the Nets should be right in the mix for being a contender.
But this is all dependent on Kevin and Kyrie being healthy.
Steve Nash news hit the media like a bombshell kind of out of nowhere.
How did you hear, Spence?
Woj and Shams break news and you kind of just, you know, it's law once they say it.
It's been something that I've thought about in the back of my mind and gained momentum with that thought that it's time for me to step out and take a challenge.
He definitely brings attributes and traits that I think are unique to this situation.
I can't help but compare Steve Nash to Steve Kerr, another guy he came in without coaching experience, although I guess Steve Nash was probably a little better player.
Kevin Durant returning to action last night. Man, this was so great. First time since tearing his Achilles in game 5 of the 2019 finals.
It will take him a while to truly feel back in his own body. He's on a new team with a new coach, and that will also be an adjustment.
I think it's realistic to think 90% of his old self, maybe better as the season goes on. And that's an all-NBA player. I mean, that's how good Kevin Durant is.
And he's ready to address the NBA like the numbers on the house.
We now welcome in NBA reporter Malika Andrews. Welcome, my friend. You will be covering the Nets this season for ESPN. Mm-hmm. And Malika, you heard the cliffhanger heading into this season, the long-awaited debut of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on the court together. You just heard Zach Lowe say 90%. What are your expectations for year one of the KD and Kyrie show?
I mean, they're high because this organization's expectations of themselves are high, Rachel. We hear these guys talk about, well, we don't want to put too much pressure on ourselves. Well, we don't want to say we're all coming back and we're out here to win it and take over the East. But at the same time, when I talk to folks around that team, they say they know. They know what they're going for. They know that not making an Eastern Conference Finals appearance, as high as those standards may be, that is already what's expected of them, and it's what they're expecting of themselves. So, yeah, I expect that of them.
So my thing is, everybody has expectations for this team. I think when you really break it down, if you were to compare it to Clippers, you have all of this new talent coming together, and they have all of the ability. They have a great bench. They have a great staff. I actually love the staff that Steve Kerr has brought in, right? He's brought in other players. Steve Nash. He's brought in other players. He brought in D'Antoni. So he's got a great, great staff there to help him navigate the first year coaching. But I think this is kind of like the Clippers, where it's like they need to develop their chemistry, and it's not like championship or bust. I think the Clippers put too much pressure on themselves, and I think when they failed, that pressure fell on them too.
Right.
So I think the Nets are just going to take it easy. I don't think they have to win a championship for this year to be successful.
Well, when you add arguably the best player in the league to your roster, it's always going to be championship or bust. Mm-hmm. Now, if Kevin Durant can play at an MVP level, top 5, top 3, then this team has a chance to get into the finals. These are the expectations that come with a superstar like Kevin Durant. And then you have Kyrie Irving in his own right. He's a superstar who's won a championship. That's always how it's going to be. LeBron goes somewhere, KD goes somewhere. Expectations are championship.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Kyrie, all eyes are going to be on him tonight because it's just preseason, but it's his first actual first game back in Boston. Remember, he didn't play when the Nets visited there last year. So, Malika, is there any bad blood left on the Celtics side after Kyrie's free agency departure a couple seasons ago?
Well, when you ask them, they're going to say no, and they've done pretty well in their own right as Kyrie has departed, right? It's not like they've fallen off a cliff. So I think the Celtics are happy with where they're at. Brad Stevens has said repeatedly that he's happy with the way, you know, things ended with Kyrie, with him moving on. I think it's Celtics fans, right, that are still kind of hanging on to that a little bit, and potentially rightfully so, right? Kyrie Irving sat in front of them and said that he intended to re-sign, and then that didn't happen. That's the business of basketball. But I was at that game in Boston last year, Rach, when Kyrie Irving did not play. And when I walked around the outside of TD Garden, there were literally posters of his face with the word coward printed over it. So I don't think this game tonight, even though it is just the preseason, is going to carry the same weight that it would have had there been fans in the building. I truly believe that if there were those folks there, they would let Kyrie know how they feel about not having him on the team anymore, and then about having him not have played last season. He was injured. He was dealing with that shoulder injury. But to the fans, that still stings a little bit. And there's a reason why this game is on Christmas Day is also Boston Nets. It's because the league knows there's a little something there.
I don't know, Paul. Do Celtics fans have long memories?
We hold grudges. We definitely hold grudges. And he would have got it. He would have got lit up if the fans were out there. And listen, this is going to continue every year until his career is over. Every time he comes to the Garden, if there's fans in there.
Paul still doesn't like me for the first 2 years of my career. What we did
to
Boston.
I mean, that's just good taste.
I was going to say, I don't think it's just because of that he doesn't like it, Richard.
That's what I'm going
to
say.
Let's get to the plot twist for the Nets this offseason. The rumors of James Harden coming to Brooklyn to join KD and Kyrie. So, Richard, how do you think those rumors impact the Nets heading into the regular season, especially the guys on the roster who know if James Harden did come there, they would probably be the ones shipped out?
Well, I had a conversation via the Nets with Sean Marks, and Sean Marks was saying, like, hey, I've had open conversations with all of our players. So they know if they need to sit down. And it's like, look, there's certain times where you can tell players that, look, I've had no conversation about this. They understand that James Harden is one of the most popular players and one of the best players in the league. So, like, these guys know. Like, Spencer Dinwiddie, if he's sitting in an office, he's like, yeah. Like, if James Harden is going to come here, like, I get it. Like, I understand. But it all is about conversation. And I think the Nets have had a great conversation with their players to let them know, like, hey, right now this is our team and this is what we're moving forward with. I don't think that there's that much stress because players know about kind of the lifestyle that we've signed up for.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think they can win a championship with the roster on hand right now without James Harden. Yeah. Yes, you add a James Harden, it does enhance your chances to win, but look, like I said, KD. You got KD, that's the champion. Kyrie, Caris LeVert. I mean, he's one of the most underrated players in my eyes in the league, a guy who can carry an offense. Dinwiddie, they got pieces here.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm not messing with
Landry
this because Shammon, think about this.
Joe Harris.
When you get a veteran like James Harden, you can kind of bump heads. KD and Kyrie, these guys are going to fall in line. They're going to play the role they ask you to play, and they're going to play it to the best of their ability because they respect these guys. And that's what you need in trying to build a championship team.
Well, and day in and day out, I do not expect this to be a distraction for the Nets. We've asked different players from Kyrie to Kevin Durant to Caris LeVert to Spencer Dinwiddie to Jared Allen. The latter three, their names have all been involved in potential packages if that were to come to fruition. And all of them have said, look, James Harden is not in our practice today. He is not distracting us. In fact, maybe look at the Rockets and see what's happening over there. That may be more of a distraction for his teammates right now. And like Richard said, I hate to echo Richard, but Sean Marks does have that open door policy. I know, it's really hard for me. But Sean Marks does have that open door policy, and he says that that's how he's working through this with his players. And it does seem like the Nets have, from everyone that I've talked to within that organization, there is no trade for James Harden. Harden that is imminent. They had some discussions. They were brief. They did not go very far. And Sean Marks being honest with his players and saying, hey, that's what happened, and now we're moving forward. We like this group. They have to believe what's done is done. And right now what's being done is not James Harden imminently coming to the Brooklyn Nets.
All right, well, let's look at the games that Nets fans should binge watch this season. Brooklyn hosting Golden State on opening night. They face Boston on Christmas, as we were just discussing. And they see the Bucks for the first time on January 18th. Mm. Malika, I know you will be covering a bunch of those games, either in person or remotely, depending on how the NBA opens up here exactly. Over the coming months. But we appreciate your time, and we will come back to you often about the KD and Kyrie show. Coming up on this show, guys, four-time NBA All-Star Sean Marion joins the jump. Paul and I are going to ask the Matrix about his former teammate turned coach Steve Nash. We've got some great What Were You Thinkings, and we're kicking Richard off the set.
Yeah, so we don't really, need Richard for this
it's a segment you should watch because you promised it's Richard free.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
All right, our next guest here, a four-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA selection. And he won one of those fancy championship rings with the Dallas Mavericks in 2011. He's also got one of the all-time great NBA nicknames, The Matrix. Sean Marion joining us on The Jump. Sean, I love you stopping by. I am concerned about your clothing and how cold you must be.
I'm okay, Rachel. It's cold here, though. It ain't too bad.
Sean, in Chicago right now. But look, I got to get you to talk about your boy, because you played with Steve Nash on the Suns so memorably, 2004 to 2008. What are your expectations for him as he transitions into a head coach with the Nets this season?
Man, you know, it's going to be... I think he got two great players. Well, he got a great team. Forget just two great players, but... I love the combination of him just trying to pass the knowledge he's learned over the years to these young guys. And, you know, he's going to be good over there. I mean, you know, he's an on-court coach, and he has a basketball mind. And, you know, I wish him the best of luck up there.
Hey, Sean, check this out.
Yeah, yeah.
You were with the Phoenix Sun when they were a show, and I love to watch you guys. Yeah. Now, look, they added CP. They made some noise in the bubble. What is your expectations for the Phoenix Suns this year?
Postseason. I think they can make the playoffs this year. You know, if Chris Paul can stay healthy and, you know, I see the steps he's taking to make sure he's a leader, man. I'm loving it. And I think I've always thought Chris Paul was a great point guard. And him going to the Phoenix Suns can add just another versatile guy and just another true competitor.
I mean, I would love to see you on this Suns team today. Goodness. How do you think your game would fit into today's NBA? Fast pace, three-point shooting, all that.
Man, you know, it fit right on in. You know, this is my era right now. We was
great.
We was a staple of starting what the basketball game is today, and I think it's just gonna keep growing and growing.
It was so fun watching those teams. And,
yes,
Sean, you changed the way the NBA – I mean, you guys set the tone that the NBA ended up following. Paul, what was it like to play against Sean Marion? Because you played against him most of your career.
There's a reason he got the nickname Matrix, because when he would jump in the air, he would just be suspended in the air, and I'd just be looking like, when is he coming down? But that team, let me tell you the one thing I remember about that team. I just remember how fast they were. It was like, if you scored on them, you better make sure you get back on defense. If not, it was going to be a layup, and you better be in shape when you play the Phoenix Suns, because they, like you said, they had a small ball lineup. They had Amari at center. Mm-hmm. Sean played power forward, and Steve pushed the ball every time, so that was an exciting team to watch and tough to play against.
Well, Steve Nash has come back and said he wished that he shot the ball more when he played with you. I just feel like, Sean, if you played in today's NBA, you wouldn't even need to change. You would be
set right in
the league right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. No problem there at all.
Well, we want to bring you back to your playing days a little bit, Sean, because now it is time to play the game that's sweeping the nation. What were you thinking, Sean Marion? We will show you some career highlights, and you can tell us what was going through your mind. So first up, what were you thinking when Al Harrington tried to draw a charge
on you
in that 2002 game? Pacers visiting the Suns, and you dunked all over him.
Oh, no. Come on.
Man, you know, Oh, man, it's my boy Al, but I was just thinking about putting that ball in the hole, man. Boss, but yeah.
That's why he got the name Matrix.
Yeah. I'm about suspended in the air. All right, I got another one for you. Next up, what were you thinking when you almost dunked on the wrong hoop? This was your rookie year. You know what I'm talking about. Off the jump ball, you take off, and then you kind of noticed what was going on around you. What was going through your mind?
So first of all, you know, when you go from pros to college, from college to pros, you know, when you're doing center court, it's always at the half court line. So I was just thinking, reminiscing on college days, and hey, it happens. Hey, ain't nobody perfect. We all make mistakes.
What did Charles Barkley say to you? Because I see him in that highlight.
CB was like, you was ready to kill it. I was like, I sure was.
I mean, you know, you were young, you were impressionable. We're gonna give you a pass.
They go a rookie mistake right there. They go to young rook.
It happens. We make mistakes when we old, so it happens. We ain't perfect.
Absolutely. Now, not a lot of people remember you were on the other side of the J.R. Smith shoe untying in 2014. That was you. JR checks in, Dirk at the line, bends down, and unties your shoe. What is going through your mind, and what did you say to him?
First of all, I didn't really think he was untying my shoe. It just happened so fast, I ain't even had time to really react. I was like, oh, they didn't really just untie my shoe? But it was all jokes and giggles, man. It was fun.
Man, I would have rather had my shoe untied than my pants pulled down by Ron Artest. That happened in a game, by the way.
Touche. You got a point there.
I'll take that.
Everyone remembers that JR did it, but you were the one that had to live it. So there you go. All right, last one. What were you thinking when it was just you and MJ, 2002, game on the line, and you got the assignment to guard Jordan? Tell us what goes through your mind in that moment.
Man, I'm trying to block his shot. What you talking about, man?
Nah, he was shaking in his boots. That's MJ. Come on now, be real. That's MJ. No, he was get the game winner
on
me.
No, listen, I'm D'ing that man up the best way I can. Look, I'm all over that. Hey, man, he just shot a – that was great defense. He just hit a better offense.
Man, how you let 40-year-old Jordan hit the game winner on you, Matrix? Come on, man.
Dude, I'm not here for the Wizards' Jordan slander.
Listen, you know, Paul, you trying to take shots low-key, but guess what? He hit some on your park bus, too, so don't even start. So,
no, listen.
He got you, too.
No, 40-year-old Jordan gave me 38, so I'm not mad.
Thank you. By the way, Sean, during the last dance, there was, Michael Jordan with the Bulls, and then there was all this Jordan Wizard slander. He was good with the Wizards.
Yeah, he
had a terrible team around him for big sections, but come on. He was still a threat back then. Don't be ashamed he scored on you. Come on, Paul.
He got me, so I can't complain.
I mean, he hit the game winner. He hit the game winner, but he hit the go-ahead basket in the All-Star game, my first All-Star game.
Yep, I know.
But then, Kobe got fouled by Jermaine O'Neal at the end. We won the game.
Man. That was a $20,000 fine right there. I remember that. That was a $20,000 fall. We would have won $21,000. We won that game, man. I was pissed.
All-Star game, when you look around and you think about the guys who were on the court back then, what do you guys – I mean, that was a crew.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, it was a special group of guys on that floor, but, Jordan stands out because it was his last one, but Mariah Carey stands out, too, in that dress.
Yes. No one's arguing with you. Sean Marion, thank you so much for joining us. We love when you stop by. Keep warm, please. I'm just still concerned. Come back to Phoenix. The weather's nicer, just saying. All right.
All right, Matrix, holla at you.
Appreciate it. Happy holidays.
So fun. All right, coming up, Bucks-Pelicans is our league pass game of the night. We'll talk about expectations for Zion in year two with no minutes restrictions. Time for our league pass game of the night. A good night with 8 games overall, including 2 on ESPN. But our staff decided if you're going league pass only, it's got to be Bucks-Pelicans. 2019 number one overall pick, Zion Williamson, posting 22.5 points per game last year in just under 28 minutes per game. Now the Pelicans are letting Zion play more minutes. So, Paul, what are you expecting from him in his sophomore season?
In his sophomore season, if Zion does not make the All-Star game, I'm going to be disappointed. This guy is must-watch TV.
You're in the West,
come on,
though.
Now. I don't care.
Zion is must-watch TV. If he plays, just actually plays, he'll be voted in by the fans.
Easily.
He'll be voted in. So it's like, even if his play is just below like an actual all-star, let's say like a Trae Young, He's going to be on every highlight. He already has one of the biggest, like, fan followings. They just need him on the court so that the fans can push him the way they would love to.
So we will see. All eyes on that team out west. And on the other end of that game, of course, it's the Bucks and Giannis. We know that they are signed up for another 5 years after he signed the Supermax. Richard, were you surprised that Giannis committed to the Bucks without giving it that one more year, since obviously he could have signed the same deal next offseason?
No, I think it's okay, because if he wants to win a championship and they want to trade, you see this all the time. If we want to give up assets and draft picks and kind of our future, it needs to be because you're committed. So I think that was like, hey, I want to win a championship here, so if I need to sign now so that we can go get the players and the assets right. needed. So I thought it was a good move by both parts.
When I see $220 million on the table, I am not surprised, man. Say, listen, let me get my signature on this piece of paper, then I'll figure it out. So, no, I am not surprised he's committed to this team for 5 more years for over $200 million.
He'll be 30 when he's done. So he has one more opt-out opportunity where he'll be under 30 to get a Supermax or even to sign a
some other big deal.
Yeah,
that one's gonna be for about $300 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this contract does have a player opt-out in the fifth year, so that is something to note. It was also interesting to me, in Giannis's press conference after he signed the deal, he was talking about how it did bother him, that people were asking him all offseason, whatever we're calling the offseason, whatever this has been, that people kept asking him about it, and that his teammates brought him those pens for his birthday and things like that. He said he just didn't want all of those questions. Are you guys surprised that in a year, by the way, with no fans or no fans in a lot of places, that was so present on his mind?
Well, I think if you look at what Kyrie had gone through, what Kevin Durant had gone through, obviously, you know, other free agents like Anthony Davis or even LeBron James when, you know, he was leaving Miami or leaving Cleveland. If you've been paying attention to it, you're like, I don't want any part of that. Either I want to be here or I don't. The money is ridiculous. I want to be here. They're committed. We've had good conversations. They're willing to go into the tax. Let's just get this over and done.
Yeah, but he's not one of those huge media markets to where they're going to, like, harass him and talk about it every day. You know, they're going to respect him as a player who he's been to the Milwaukee Bucks. So if it came up and he would have said, listen, I don't want to talk about it right now, it wouldn't have been the same situation with Durant, who was with Curry. You know, that was a star-studded team where there's, like, media members from everywhere always in that locker room.
Right.
That wouldn't be the case in Milwaukee. And we're in the times where media is not even in your locker room.
Right now.
So it wouldn't have been a problem for him to go through that. So.
That's what interested me, that he made that point, because I thought, oh, that's not going to be as much of a factor this year.
Like, you don't have to deal with him being in your face.
But you know what? It's good for the NBA that he stayed in Milwaukee.
$250 million.
It's good for those of us who like to watch the NBA.
$250 million.
It's Purple Friday, by the way. Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game.
Oh, here we go.
I'm happy.
Arizona lost 70-7.
Good luck
to Arizona State.
Thanks, Paul and Richard, for joining me. It jumps back on Monday.